after infidelity and betrayal, it is natural to hope that life eventually makes them understand what they did. You hope they get exposed. You hope people finally see the truth. You hope that karma catches up to them. You hope that they lose something important enough to understand what they took from you. And you might call it karma. You might call it consequences. You might call it justice. But you want your reality to be acknowledged, fundamentally. You want proof that what happened mattered. You want that imbalance to be corrected. You want the person who caused the damage to carry some of the pain of the damage that they caused, instead of just walking away into the sunset while you're there rebuilding yourself. And that desire does make sense, but oftentimes waiting for karma can become yet another way that you're just emotionally attached to the person who hurt you and is already off living their life. And so it's this feeling of vindication that a lot of people are looking for. This can come in their mind from the other person could admit what they did, or other people could see them for who they really are, or other people could validate them for not being crazy, weak, or somehow responsible for the betrayal. But one way or another, they want some vindication. They want some reality being acknowledged. And this can become especially true when the relationship had a lot of gaslighting, where they were saying, no, this never happened. They might still be denying it, even after you caught them red-handed. And it could be extremely frustrating for everyone else to still view them as innocent. And you might have proof, and you might even be tempted to blow up their life and show everyone exactly what happened. And you are allowed to tell the truth about your life. You're not required to protect their reputation. And I think it's worth knowing, if you're going to do that, why you're doing it. You know, are you doing it to protect yourself? You know, correct the false accusation, to be able to get more support, to handle practical concerns? Or are you doing it because you want them to hurt? You want them to suffer? And again, I don't think that's necessarily wrong. Like, you have every right to let people know the facts of what that person did to you. But be honest about why you're doing it. But what's tough is that even with proof, there is always the chance that if you bring this evidence out, they might have already done a lot of preemptive damage control and told everybody, well, yeah, that person is crazy. In other words, the public opinion might not agree with you. So be careful about making public vindication be a requirement for your own healing. And then sometimes people start thinking about all of this of like, what would it look like to tell everybody? And they go the opposite route and they say, well, I'm not going to say anything then. I'll just be completely silent. I'll just wait for karma. But sometimes that waiting can still look like attachment if you're still checking their social media, asking other people about them, you're waiting for that other shoe to drop. And the thing about karma is, even within spiritual traditions that take karma as a very serious concept, it's usually more complex than you did something wrong, so something wrong will happen to you, or you hurt someone, so now you'll be hurt. It's usually more complex, where when someone does something that is wrong or unhealthy or unhelpful, that affects who they are, and then that later affects their life. They start to reap what they've sown. And so it's not that the person who lies, who betrays, who cheats, is going to have someone lie to, betray them, or cheat on them. The karma, so to speak, is that by lying, they are becoming a liar. Or the person who is avoiding accountability becomes more practiced at avoidance. Or that the person who manipulates is becoming a more manipulative person. And the idea is that those things are their own punishment. It doesn't mean that they'll experience the same exact betrayal in return. Karma is not this invisible accounting system that exchanges one bad act for one equally bad event. It's more of a web of causes and effects, where present choices, past habits, other people's choices, opportunity, environment, circumstance all weave together to make things even in some way. And so what this looks like is that the effect might be not that they're cheated on themselves, but they might become incapable of developing genuine intimacy. They might keep repeating their own patterns. They might constantly need external attention. They might live a life constantly on edge and defensive because they're not able to ever take accountability. And if we're going to talk about karma and cause and effect, it's worth pointing the mirror at yourself as well. What are you cultivating? You know, every hour that you spend rehearsing revenge strengthens that neural pathway in your mind. Every time that you monitor whether or not they've suffered, you're just reinforcing that attachment. Does this constantly checking in on them to see if they've gotten what they deserve yet bring you freedom, or does it just deepen that connection to them? So instead of asking, when will karma punish them? It might be helpful to ask, what are their choices turning them into, and what are my choices turning me into? So when we talk about karma and infidelity, there's this fantasy that people fall into of, I'm going to become so happy, so successful, so attractive, so desirable that they'll regret losing me. Growth can be healthy, and spiting someone else can be a good initial motivator. But at some point you have to ask, am I still performing for them? Am I still doing all of this for them? You need to eventually get to a point where you're not trying to get them to regret losing you, but you're living a good enough life that whether they regret losing you becomes irrelevant. What all of this comes down to, though, I'm not sure if I believe in karma, there is just something unfair about it all. Because they might never confess at all, or even if they do, they might not confess to the full extent. They might not apologize at all, or even if they do, their apology will probably be inadequate. People might still side with them even knowing what happened. And these things can make it feel like they won, like they were victorious, and that you were the loser. Often in life, despite us wanting to believe in justice and karma, it often does feel like we don't get the moral ending to the story that people deserve. And the closest word to that is grief. It does feel different because grief is more about losing something, whereas this is about something just being wrong. And so grieve it. You know, there's not always going to be a way to make it right. What they did isn't right. And I don't think that there's enough pain that can happen to them to suddenly make you feel like it's okay. At some point, you stop asking, when will they finally pay for what they've done? And you start wondering to yourself, what in me might need to heal so this is no longer controlling my life? And maybe karma does exist in the way that some spiritual traditions teach it. Maybe karma is simply the psychological and relational effect of living without integrity. Maybe they will get consequences later. Maybe they will get away with things. Maybe you will see the exact consequences and maybe you won't. My main point is that your life can't remain on pause while you wait to find out. The turning point will never be seeing them suffer. The turning point is not going to necessarily be that this chapter of your life somehow got rewritten to end on a happy note. Sometimes the turning point is just starting the next chapter.